Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Shay Stevens. I'm here with Ashley Winters, I believe. Ashley, are you on the line? No, Ashley's not on the line. Okay.
I was told by, I forgot, I think her name's Jennifer, I might be wrong.
That's okay.
That Ashley will not be joining us today.
Okay, no worries. We do have Teachers Union Advocate Sean Ferguson. Say hi, Sean.
Hi, everybody.
And the title of tonight's show is Unions, the Guardrails of Democracy. So we are at KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You can call in at 605-4567 or 4566 tonight. So in honor of Labor Day, we decided to do a show on union advocacy and how that plays into democracy. And so Sean's here tonight to talk to us about what he does. So do you want to give us a little background on the journey to union advocacy for you?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, Shay, thank you so much for having me out tonight.
Thanks for coming.
Yep, absolutely. It's exciting to be here. A little bit nerve-wracking, but just have to imagine just a conversation amongst friends, right?
Right, yep.
So I've been involved in organized labor work for probably, 26 years at this point. Let me take that back. Probably more like 23 years. I added a couple. But the way I got started, I was a high school Spanish teacher in Shasta County for 23 years. And for about 20 of those 23 years in public education, I did local, regional, and eventually state-level union work for my local teachers association and also the statewide teachers association. And in those 23 years, I kind of started from the bottom, so to speak. I was a fill-in site rep before I became a site rep. Then I got involved with bargaining contracts. So I was on the negotiating team and was vice president, was grievance chair, was membership chair. I got very involved in our regional union work with the Shasta-Cascade Service Center. Was eventually elected to CTA State Council, which is our statewide governing body that makes policy decisions about the California Teachers Association. Mm-hmm. And then, almost 4 years ago, kind of mid-COVID, I was teaching high school. Like I said, it was my 23rd year teaching high school. Definitely a challenging time to be in education.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You can recall, right?
That was fun.
Yeah. We had the best world there with the hybrid model, which I think was, you know, looking back, it probably was the best decision for our district at that time. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to gonna Monday morning quarterback the decisions made back then, but teaching in the hybrid atmosphere was really, really, really challenging. Not ideal for educators or for students. And so an opportunity to do full-time union work came along. Mm-hmm. There was a job opening out of the Chico office for the California Teachers Association, which is the statewide union for public educators, or one of the statewide unions, the largest statewide union for public educators, representing over 300,000 public educators in the state of California. Mm-hmm. So I applied for the job, got a job offer, and took it. And for the last almost 4 years, it'll be 4 years in January, I've been what we refer to as primary contact staff or union organizers or labor representative. My job has a lot of different titles. Mm-hmm. But basically, I support 22 individual union locals in Northern California. I cover all of Glen County, all of Tehama County, and I cover two chapters in the southern part of Shasta County, Anderson Union High School Teachers Association and the Anderson Cascade Teachers Association. And my role for them is I support them in kind of all things union. So whether it's bargaining labor contracts, dealing with grievance issues, disciplinary issues with management, but the most exciting part is in the title. It's I'm a union organizer, and it's organizing folks. It's giving them the tools to get organized and advocate on their behalf. So yeah, that's how
the voice,
I got here.
The voice of the people, right?
Absolutely. No, I was wondering how you were going to tie. Don't get me wrong. Unions in and of themselves are very democratic organizations.
Right.
They're all about giving voice to people and letting that voice be the power for, you know, the underrepresented, I guess. But no, I like how you've tied unionism to a guardrail of democracy.
Yeah. I fully believe that. I've seen it in action. Just today in the news, Brooke Shields announced that she has taken over the America's Stage Actors Union. And she went on to talk about how showgoers have flocked back to concerts and sporting events, but live theater attendance still lags since pre-pandemic times because, like teaching, they had to go to some sort of hybrid model. They were, like, putting things on TV or at movie theaters or whatever, and people were not attending like they were attending live. And so as a backlash to that, a lot of things have happened. People have lost their jobs. They're not making the money they used to. And so she stepped up. And she made the statement that she said, "I look at unions as parents. When your voice isn't necessarily strong enough or going to be heard, they can step in and speak for you. I've been a member since I was a little girl, and my mom would say, if I can't help you, we can go to the union and they will." What do you think about that comment?
I love the idea because it really points out that that one of our purposes as a union is giving voice to the, I can't really say they're unrepresented because obviously you're in a union, so you've mm-hmm. chosen to participate in representation, but it really speaks to the idea that a group acting together in an organized way for concerted activity is mm-hmm. going to improve things for, it's going to improve things for everybody. It's
right.
the single best route. And honestly, if you look at how when America had a thriving and vibrant middle class,
yep.
that goes hand in hand when union membership was at its highest in our country. And
right.
so unions do a great job of that. They give voice, collective voice to the individual, and they're able to achieve things that they never would be able to if you were forced to what we call hat in hand, have that relationship with your employer, walking in as an individual and trying to advocate for yourself. You're never going to be as powerful as
collectively.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Somebody that
yeah.
carries the voice of the entire organization.
Right. And so I did a little research on history, and I knew some of this going into it, but just to have notes here, the American labor movement began in the late 19th century, and that was the rise of unions in the United States as a response to harsh working conditions during the Industrial Revolution. So it was, like always, the pendulum swings, right? Like, things are going badly, and people finally rise up and say, we're not going to do this anymore. And I think that started waning because over time, unions did a lot of good work, and we weren't having to do it anymore, right? And we were, because as goes the union, goes the rest of the world,
right?
So, like, the unions do the work, and then if union wages go up, minimum wages go up in response to that. And so we weren't having to do as much of that, and we started kind of, I don't know, maybe becoming complacent. And then this great big COVID thing happened, which changed a lot of things, right? Like, we've talked about this so many times on this radio show about how COVID was the catalyst for some big movement. And we're going to go ahead and go to break right now, and we'll talk about that when we come back. Thank you.
Hi, this is Linda 5. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
Hi guys, welcome back. We are at 96.5 FM KCNR. I'm here tonight with Sean, union advocate, and we left off talking about the pendulum swinging and needing unions again. So union participation kind of started to wane over the last like 15 to 20 years, and because people felt pretty good about their pay and their working conditions and whatnot. But post-COVID, some things happened, and I know for teachers, it got really weird, and somehow we collectively became the enemy.
Right?
It was really weird.
Yeah, no, it was strange. We went from heroes to goats
really
fast.
Heroes to zeros, yeah.
Happened fast.
And it did happen fast. And so all of a sudden, and it wasn't just us. We just know that because, I'm a teacher, so I know that, and I can speak to that. But I know that, you know, across the board, people, like small businesses really were hurting after COVID. Healthcare workers were not treated well. And so there's been this resurgence of union advocacy that we're seeing, which is great. And so... like what are some of the challenges that you've seen specifically?
So I have special challenges, I think, in the job that I do in far Northern California, because while the state of California is run by Democrats in Sacramento, we're definitely a politically left-leaning, if you took the entire consensus of the state, I happen to live in a very conservative part of the state. Mm-hmm. And so, and you know, whether our audience knows it or not, organized labor over time has tended to flock to the American left. And so mm-hmm. when you're dividing, the right and the left, along different groups. Labor unions will oftentimes find them aligning with Democrat candidates and on the left side of the political spectrum. Although it's odd when you get down to it on an issue by issue basis, it doesn't play out that way.
Right.
And so a challenge that I have, because I do work for the California Teachers Association, and by the way, I need to clarify, all my opinions tonight are my opinions. Right. Don't want to get in any trouble with my bosses if they hear this, although I don't think I've said anything controversial yet. But there is a difficulty in my job is somehow convincing folks that joining the union and participating in the union is worthwhile to them, because oftentimes they associate union membership with left-leaning politics, and oftentimes they associate it with left-leaning social issues that they don't personally agree with. Mm-hmm. But I will quote my boss, when it comes to organizing conservative union members, everybody likes to win. Okay. And what does winning look like in the context of a union? Winning looks like better pay and better working conditions. And I don't care what your personal politics are. When you go to work, you want to be, you want fair pay for a fair day's work. You want, health coverage for you and your family, and you want safe working conditions. And those are the exact bread and butter issues that unions organize around and advocate for.
Right.
And so, that's a special challenge that I have. Now, if we look nationally, a lot of the complacency you talked about is true. First of all, a lot of manufacturing went overseas.
Right.
And so a lot of what would are traditionally union jobs are no longer done here in the States. But rumor has it that unions are union participation and unions in general are actually becoming a little bit more popular among young folks. And so I'm terrible with the generations, but I believe that Gen Z and millennials are much more likely to have positive feelings about unions. And if we just look at what's happening, Amazon, we're seeing a push in union. Starbucks, we're seeing a push in union.
Yep.
Volkswagen.
Chipotle.
Right? So a lot of these places now.
Gig workers.
Absolutely.
That's a whole new thing.
Right?
Right? Like Uber and things like they need safety. And that was their biggest thing. It wasn't even pay. It was safety.
Absolutely.
Like, and so they unionized together so that they could create some sort of policy and process to make sure that they were safe.
Yep.
So, yeah, there are some new things. I know my son is part of his student union at college.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I think that definitely the younger generation is jumping into the union boat.
And what's sad is what you'll find that whether a politician is a Democrat or a Republican, corporate interests write checks to both of those parties and in the same amount, right?
Like
both national party, Democrat and Republican Party, are receiving money from corporate interests, and corporate interests oftentimes are diametrically opposed to the interests of unions.
Right.
And so unfortunately, although sometimes the Democrat candidates will pay lip service to being pro-union, some of the biggest obstacles are actually getting, whether they be Democrat or Republican, getting lawmakers to prioritize the rights of unions and to side with unions. Because I don't know if you've done much of the reading around how difficult it has been for Amazon and for Starbucks and even for REI, a company I love, but you find these corporations doing what corporations do to try to block the formation of unions.
Sure, because it doesn't benefit them.
Absolutely no.
I mean, bottom line, I mean,
you can
get into the weeds about philosophy about how in the long run it does benefit them.
Right.
But in the short term, and we could get into capitalism and all of that.
Yeah.
In the short term, it doesn't work out number-wise for them.
Yeah. And it's my favorite thing is they put, this is just, and I feel sorry for anybody that believes this, they paint a picture that the union is not out for you, the worker, the union is out for itself. And I, the manager or the owner or you know, whatever role on the management side of the corporation, I'm the one that's looking. No, those folks typically are looking out for shareholder prices.
Of course.
And they're going to make all of their decisions around maximizing shareholder prices. Well, guess what? Most of the employees aren't shareholders in those corporations. And so if you have to look between somebody whose interest is in maximizing share price or a union whose job it is to
make sure you're safe.
Yeah. Literally advocate for better pay and working conditions. Mm-hmm. I would, if I were a worker, I would throw in with the union or at least give it a shot.
You would think so.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. What are some success stories that have come out of the union recently? I mean, I can think of some if you can't.
You know, and again, I'm going to stay, when I say local, just in the work that I do, not only locally here in Shasta and Glenn and Tehama County, but my colleagues who work, well, throughout the state. What I think we've done successfully in the last year or two is we've put a much needed focus on school board races.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we were beat to the punch by this, by some radical groups.
So
some
weird.
Some extremist groups. They saw a vacuum. I mean, they saw a power vacuum.
Uh-huh.
They said, you know what? School boards have a ton of power. They have a ton mm-hmm. of ability to affect really important things, how schools are run. And guess what?
Yep.
Nobody runs for school board. These positions go unfilled,
uncontested,
unopposed.
Exactly. All the time. Yep.
All the time.
Yep.
And so what I would describe as some radical groups that do not have the best interests of public education, educators, or students in mind have kind of filled that power vacuum. And unfortunately, we, as the California Teacher Association, or just teachers unions in general, were mm-hmm. a little bit slow to react. We've been playing from behind in that. But the work that I've seen in the last 2 years around organizing, and again, it's not a top-down organization. It's nobody in Burlingame saying, this is what needs to be happening in Shasta County. It's talking to educators at their work sites and saying, you realize this chaos you're living in isn't helping you. It's not helping your family, mm-hmm. and it's not helping the students. That's for darn sure, or their families.
Right.
And so let's organize around getting some school board candidates recruited and elected who have the best interest of students, parents,
non-political,
teachers.
Right?
Yeah,
these are
exactly.
supposed to be non-partisan positions.
And we're talking bread and butter education stuff, not invented problems that are dictated by somebody somewhere.
And we have found a lot of invented problems.
Yeah. So wins are the focus and the attention that school, even small little counties, school board races are getting from their local union organizations. And again, the beauty of it is that when somebody shows up your door and says, our teachers support this candidate, that still carries weight. Now, if it was the California Teacher Association, if it was your local union representative, for it, then it's going to get a little bit dicey because, like I talked about before, because unions are so, at this point, linked to left-leaning politics.
It's been politicized,
But people trust teachers. People still trust teachers.
I hope so.
They do. They do, and it's going to play out in November.
Yeah, it's been pretty ugly the last few years, the way that teachers have been demonized and all of this weird, you know, propaganda against us has been so weird. And, you know, all we can do to fight against that is just continue to do our jobs and do them well and then hope that they just, you know, kind of fall by the wayside.
And the problem is, Jay, you and I are experts, meaning we both were products of public education in Shasta County.
Mm-hmm.
We both were public educators in Shasta County. You still do that. I did that until very recently. We understand what's going on, boots on the ground. And so to have the problem with education dictated to us by a group of people with an obvious agenda is just really, really frustrating.
And what's more frustrating is I think that many of them don't even realize that they're being played by a bigger, you know, like they've bought into this thing that we need to get rid of public education in order to make the world a better place.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And I think if anybody looks at what fuels a democracy, it's public education.
Yeah.
I mean, square one, public education fuels democracy.
Yep.
So if you want to maintain a democracy, you have to have an educated society.
That's it. It requires an educated public.
100%. And with that, we're going to take a break again.
All right.
Thanks.
This
is Carl Bott.
And Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Bot. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. from my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
Welcome back to KCNR. We are here with Sean Ferguson, union advocate on Shasta Unmasked, KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and feel free to call in this last half hour, 605-4567 or 605-4566.
And before we move on, I want to make something totally clear. Yeah. I am not impartial. I am an advocate.
Oh,
for
sure.
I'm an advocate for teachers. Educators.
Same.
I'm an advocate for students. But imagine a world where they're going, Sean, how can we trust you? You were just talking about how you can't trust necessarily management or the corporate side of the house to do what's best for the worker. Well, Sean, you're advocating for teachers. How can we trust that your intentions are what's best for kids? Because ultimately, that's what public education is there for,
right,
is to produce
yeah.
citizens. Here's the thing. Let's say I have this really nefarious plan to work as hard as I can to organize people so that they are incredibly well paid, they have amazing health and welfare benefits, and they have the type of working conditions that makes them not only happy to go to work, but to want to stay there for a 20 or 30 or 40 year career. Okay. Let's say that I'm successful in all these things. What do you wind up with? You wind up with a great population of educators. You wind up with exactly the type of person that you want in front of your kid. And so even if I've got the ulterior motive of everything I just described,
promoting
the
union.
The impact is that kids have a better educational experience, because the most important part of that experience are, and I'm not just talking about teachers, I'm talking about counselors, I'm talking about cafeteria workers and, mm-hmm. and bus drivers and all the people that we represent in CTA.
Right.
Those are the people that make the difference in the kids' lives, and right. you want great people there, and you do that partially through right. union organizing.
Absolutely. Like, happy wife, happy life, or
all
you're right, all the adages.
Sure.
The feed the mom first.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, all of those things.
Yeah.
Okay, so I had a few questions here, just kind of on a list. So,
sure.
Some people argue that unions are less relevant in today's economy. How do you respond to that?
Again, less relevant in as much as union membership. When compared to historical bases, yes, there are a lot fewer union workers than there were during the 1940s, 50s, 60s, during that time. And by the way, I'm terrible with union history, so mm-hmm. somebody out there is listening going, you're an idiot.
But
I totally
right
understand.
Here.
I do not have great recollection because of the way I came up. But so if you measure your relevance by participation in the workforce, there's a good argument to be made. Unions are not as powerful, but where unions exist, things are better for the worker. We still have mm-hmm. a shrinking middle class, and it continues to shrink yeah. and has for time. And so maybe we're not as relevant as we once were, but we are much more needed than we have been. And
right.
I would love – and again, it's got to start with grassroots organizing and putting pressure on politicians to actually – walk the walk and support unionism so that the path to doing it, because again, I do not think given the opportunity to be a union employee and a non-union employee, when explained the difference between those two working circumstances, you're going to have a really overwhelming majority of people choose to be union employees.
Mm-hmm.
We have to work on organizing those folks at the grassroots level, but also getting the obstacles out of the way because they're there intentionally.
Yes.
And those dollars flow to both sides of the aisle.
Yeah. And I think we've probably taken for granted that we have safe working conditions. We have
absolutely.
The 8-hour work day, the 40-hour work week. All of that came from union organizing,
sure.
right?
Absolutely.
So there was this example that I pulled up. It says the Pullman strike of 1894, which was one of the first union movements, highlighted the power of collective action when the American Railway Union protested wage cuts. Though the strike ended in a violent crackdown, it led to greater public awareness of workers' rights and the need for government intervention, laying the groundwork for future labor protections. I think a lot of people don't understand that workers literally fought and died for the rights that we have today.
100%.
It's not like they just went to their superiors and were like, we really want to file an unfair labor practice.
Right?
Like they literally were fighting in the streets for their rights.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Strike busting was real and
yeah.
people died and were beaten. And it's interesting. And because I've been a teacher, I represent teachers in my current job now. There is a bit of a white collar aspect to the work I do, but I had an amazing opportunity. Went back and worked a strike in Minneapolis, the Minneapolis Federation of Teachers. Shout out to those folks back there. Worked their strike a couple of years ago, and all of the blue collar unions that come together in a place like Minneapolis when the mm-hmm. teachers go on strike to support that strike effort, it was really cool to watch the mixing and the
yeah.
cultures of the blue and the white collar unions and watching them mix. It was incredibly inspiring.
Yeah, it is very inspiring because in most of what we do in our lives now, if you were to poll people, I think a lot of us feel like we don't have a voice, right? Like you get up, you go to work every day, you don't have a voice in what's happening. But if you work for a union, you do have a voice.
Absolutely. Again, unions fell short at their obligation to their workers. And you're right. You've mm-hmm. brought up a couple times that we've done a lot of the hard work. And you talk mm-hmm. about the 40-hour work week. And we mm-hmm. talk about employer-paid health care and weekends off and child labor laws and things like that,
mm-hmm.
right? But I think where unions also became complacent was they became more interested in the health, and by health I mean the financial health, of the union organization. That the union was about the elected union officials and the professional employees within the union. There was a time when, or let's just say, they perceive themselves as the most important part of the union, not the rank and file membership. Mm-hmm. And when unionism moves away from boots on the ground, constant conversations with the membership and making sure that their priorities are what's represented in the union agenda. Mm-hmm. And now you find yourself in a place where you've got the same, and this happens in teachers' unions locally too. You've got the same three or four people that have done all the union work for the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And guess what? You've got an apathetic, disinterested union. And when it comes time to take collective action, you've got no one to stand with you, because guess what? You never had a conversation with them. You were too busy taking care of yourself and not talking to the people. So complacency is real.
Yeah. And I mean, I can attest to that. In the years that I've done union work, it's a thankless job sometimes.
Oh, man. Absolutely.
And you willingly throw yourself under the bus because you become the face of everything that your employer doesn't like.
Yep.
Like people coming in and fighting for fair wages, or even the little things, you know, like somebody gets assigned some extra duty after work that they didn't sign up for. And that's why we have contracts, right?
Right.
So that we can protect people from that. And if we can just, you know, go to the contract and say, look, it's written right here, you can't do that. And we all have families, and teaching in particular is very female dominated profession.
Over 70%, if you look at education as a whole, statewide.
Yeah. And can you believe we're still fighting for pregnancy leave?
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
And we could get into the weeds because it is a nuanced conversation. But yes, women have to use their sick leave.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no male equivalent. And we could get into the retirement implications and all that stuff. But at its face, a workforce that's over 70% female, and you have to go through all of your accrued sick leave.
Yep.
And who gets pregnant? People at the beginning of their career who don't have any accrued sick leave.
Mm-hmm.
And so they wind up in unpaid status, and that affects their retirement on and on it goes.
At the end of the day, we're making less money, just dollar for dollar, than our male counterparts because of the time we have to take off and use our sick leave and our own accrued time, because we don't get paid like everyone else.
No, and it's weird. I hear that as a justification for not necessarily teaching, because we have uniform salary schedules and stuff like that, but I hear that women take time to have kids as a justification. Like that's why there's a gender pay gap in our society, and somehow that makes that okay. And I'm baffled that you point to that, that folks will actually use that as a quote-unquote pro-argument. It just,
whereas, like, if I could have had my husband at the time give birth to my children, I would have chosen that route.
But, right? Absolutely.
You know, that wasn't an option, strangely enough.
No, absolutely.
We still have a lot of work to do, I think, but definitely I can't imagine what teachers, especially, what our jobs would look like if we did not have a union, because we are female dominated. And if you look all the way back at, you know, like I know at our school, we have one of the documents that shows what female teachers were required to do at the beginning of every school day. Have you seen that?
No.
It shows, like, we were supposed to put the coal in the, like, fireplace
in the
furnace to make sure everybody was warm. And we had to do all the janitorial work and yada, yada, yada. Had to be escorted by a male to any public place. There were a lot of things that, and, you know, like, when we talk about systemic problems.
Sure.
It all starts with, you know, history, where we started from.
Yeah.
And teachers were really kind of like nuns. We were supposed to be chaste and single women.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't even until, I don't know, 60, 70 years ago that males started working as teachers. You know, it wasn't a real profession, quote unquote, a real profession. We were supposed to be the caretakers of the children.
Right.
And I get, you know, at the time that was, I'm sure, the right thing to do, but we've evolved.
Well, yeah, so whether it was right or not, it did reflect the culture at the time.
Right,
the
That's culture
true.
At the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have to be mindful of the culture at the time when we talk about anything in history.
Sure.
But also, you know, we have evolved.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, if you imagine if you didn't have a union and you got pregnant mm-hmm. and we're not going to be able to be at work for 1 or 2 or 3 months, well, guess what? Mm-hmm. You don't
You're
have
unemployed.
A job.
You're unemployed. Yep.
Your pregnancy equals unemployment. And I'll tell you, it's yep. strange, and I will mention no names, but I remember an HR director I worked with at one point in my career was mad as heck when they found out that they hired a person who had not disclosed during the interview process that they
yep.
were pregnant.
Yep.
Went through the interview process, got the job, were employed, and then yep. At some point during that first year of employment said, I'm pregnant and I'll be going on pregnancy. Mm-hmm. That HR director was fit to be tied as though they had been lied to.
Yep.
So it's yep. that type of thinking
yep.
still exists.
Yep. That actually happened to me.
Oh, you're kidding.
I missed out on a job opportunity because I was already showing when I went in for the
really?
Job interview.
Wow.
Yep. And with that, we're going to take another break.
Oh, wow.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Let our families fall, cause the union strong. Ten toes stand tall, cause the union strong. Stand tall through it all, cause the union strong. We can't let our families fall, cause the union strong. All for one, one for all, cause the union strong. Ain't gonna be no plan.
Welcome back. We are at our last 10 minutes of the show. Please call in if you have any questions or comments at 605-4567 or 66 at KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. We're back with Shasta Unmasked and Sean Ferguson, union advocate. And in these last 10 minutes, we want to talk about some of Sean's personal insights. So what would you say has been the most rewarding aspect of your work as a union leader?
You know, if I look at it purely through the lens of being a union organizer, which is really how I should look at my work, mm-hmm. then the most satisfying stuff is watching people step up, fill the role of whether it's site rep or bargaining chair or president, right? Have the conversations with the folks, establish what the priorities are, and then show up at the bargaining table, show up at the school board meeting, show up to the new member engagement / recruitment event, and watch them come into their own and speak with that voice of strength and power that they've gotten because they know that they've done the work. So the most satisfying part is watching people succeed because they've done the work, and as a result, all boats are lifted, right? Things got better because this thing works. Now, and this is something I talked to my therapist about, Brittany, on a personal side of things, I love to be of service. And there's an almost unlimited opportunity for me in this role to be of service of folks, right?
Yep.
And so the number of calls I get that are basically, I'm in trouble, or this is a problem, please help me solve it. I have an incredible amount of opportunity to do that, and I get a lot of satisfaction in helping people solve problems and work through them, but we do have an iron rule in unionism, and it's
never do anything.
You know
that someone can't do for themselves.
Do not do it.
And that's a hard one.
It is so incredibly hard because I do have a skill set and an expertise, but I'm also a born pleaser. Mm-hmm. And so empowering folks
well,
is
I think
a
that's
skill we
why
have to learn.
Teachers are so good at that.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know, in general, I think educators are really good at being union leaders. However, the caveat to that is because we are people pleasers, we sometimes have a hard time standing our ground against those that are maybe strong-willed,
absolutely,
like a school board or an administrator. Sometimes it's hard to go up against them. But when you said, you know, when union leaders do the work or people that are involved with the union do the work, and then they can see that through and they can see kind of the win from that. The great part about unions is there's also that safety net for you. You know that you've got people behind you that are also going to protect you.
Yep.
Because if you're not protected by a union and you shout loudly in a room, it's not going to end well for you.
Absolutely.
And you need that union protection in order to see that through.
Yeah. No, 100%. And honestly, there's a human part to this job. And you know it better than I do, Shay, that the very people that you're going up against and having these hard conversations and fighting these hard fights are the people you're supposed to link arm in arm with in a different context to serve those kids. I mean, a superintendent, a principal, we will go to battle over righteous fights with these folks, but these are the same people who are steering the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And we do. We have to get on board with them oftentimes. And so being able to...
And we really want nothing more than to be arm in arm with them.
That's it.
For all of us to see the big picture, which is our students and our future, right? Like, that's why you become a teacher. We definitely don't do it for the fame and the fortune.
No, and that's why I'm so cynical back to the school board. The recent school board movements around, you know, it's being propped up as pro-kid, pro-parent. And the thing is, these folks are not there on the ground doing the work. They're dismissive of the experts that are actually doing it. And so that's why it's just so terribly offensive. Because, Shay, I know, you know, again, you will fight a righteous fight with your superintendent, principal, whoever it may be, but you will also go arm in arm with that person and do whatever it takes to get kids educated. And you've done that your whole career. And then you have these interlopers coming in, pushing an agenda that are outside of that.
Yes.
That's why that's so offensive.
And that's what's so, it, I think, caught us on our heels was nobody ever saw this coming, that school boards would be political fodder, you know, like that. This is not where you bring your political fight. You don't use students as your collateral damage for a political fight.
And that's exactly
what's
happening.
It's so damaging to our kids and our teachers who are already overworked,
right?
And, you know, trying really hard to come back from pandemic times and, you know, get our kids back up to speed. And now we're fighting this culture war with a small group of people.
Right.
It is a small group, but they've infiltrated
Absolutely.
A lot of our school boards. And it's been exhausting, to say the least.
No, a vocal minority can do a lot of damage.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's too bad that, because we have a terrible shortage of educators,
mm-hmm.
not only in the state, but countrywide.
Nationwide, yeah.
And so we want to attract the best and brightest to this profession.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're busy having these nonsensical culture war, political grandstanding fights mm-hmm. in public, let's just say, smart young people are not looking at that and going, wow, that's the profession that I want to get in. And we got to do what it takes. And again,
yeah.
who does that work? Unions do that work.
Yep.
Pay, benefits,
yep.
good working conditions, the kind of place that you want to work is the same kind of place that somebody else wants to send their kid to. They're arm in arm. They go together.
Yeah. Which kind of piggybacks on the next question
sure.
I was going to ask you, which is, can you share a piece of advice for a younger person who's thinking about becoming more involved in union activities?
Absolutely. Well, if you're becoming more involved, that means you joined the union, and
mm-hmm.
that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Under no circumstances should you be personally okay with getting the benefits of collective bargaining of the union and not paying the dues. Don't you have – be a more ethical person
uh-huh.
than that and join. But if you've joined – and you're wondering, should I get more involved? The answer is yes. But here's the thing. Oftentimes, the people who get all the press in unions are people like you and Miche,
mm-hmm.
who are, I try not to be in front of a camera ever. You, unfortunately, probably more than you want,
yeah.
are there. But they yeah. look at union work as the person standing up and publicly fighting all the
mm-hmm.
time. And that's not the case. There's room for that.
Right.
But there are so many ways to contribute. School board campaigns coming up. If there's a contested school board race and your local union supporting a candidate, make signs, write postcards.
Right.
Maybe your union has a sunshine committee where you celebrate people's birthdays or you buy flowers for folks who
mm-hmm.
go through something tough. Get on the sunshine committee, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're an incredible note taker. Get on the bargaining team as the recorder. You
yeah.
don't have to have the fights, but if you're an incredible note taker
yep.
or you're great at Excel, there are
yep.
places for everybody who wants to get involved.
Yeah.
And the more folks involved, the stronger the union, 100%.
Yeah. We just got a new secretary
oh, that's
for
right.
our exec
yeah.
board. And she was like, just tonight, she's like, well, what do I do? What am I expected to do? And I said, you can do as much or as little as you want. The bare minimum, you have to take notes.
Sure, right.
You have to record what's going on.
Yeah.
But we want her voice in there. You know, the more, and I can't be the voice of everyone without input from those
no.
people. So that's the other thing is like as a union leader myself, I have to take on the role of what my constituents want from me. What do you want me to say when I get up to the podium?
Yep.
And I have learned in my old age, I've gotten grumpier and probably a little more brave. When I was younger, I was not ready to stand
sure.
up there at the podium. And but it was through encouragement and through that pendulum swinging too far in the other direction where I finally said, enough is enough.
Right.
Like, if nobody else is going to do it, then I'm going to stand up there and do it. And I can tell you, it's been nothing but rewarding. Even though there has been backlash, it's been well worth it.
Yeah.
Because when you know you're standing up for the right thing and you're doing the right thing by the people you work with, even if it's quietly, they will come to me if it's a text
mm-hmm.
or a quick email or an aside at a meeting. You know, thank you for your hard work. Thank you for standing up for us. Thank
yep.
you for saying what we all want to say, but we're too scared to say. And that's worth it to
yep.
me.
Therein lies that satisfaction
yep.
of doing the job. And unions, in their nature, done right, are democratic organizations. You are going to make some people, meaning not everybody within your union is always going to agree on everything. And you as a leader, you have
mm-hmm.
to thread that needle, knowing that you're standing
right.
up there. You're carrying the voice of the majority.
The majority, yeah.
But you know,
that's democracy.
We learned in COVID. Yeah, it goes right
yeah.
back to democracy.
yep.
Yeah, it's yep. difficult, satisfying work.
Yep. And with that, we are down to exactly 60 seconds. And so I think we're going to say, democracy is definitely held together through unions and an educated society. And we are lucky enough to get to play both sides of that.
Absolutely. Well, Shay, thank you so much for having me today. I really appreciate your time. This was great.
Awesome night. Thanks, everyone. Yep. Good night.
Yeah, good night.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.